Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Beacon Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sunny, and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speaker, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I have asked Joe to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Joe, I'm an alcoholic. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the executor of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me read today.
Thank you so much, Joe. And today we will hear a talk on step 10, continued to take our personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So please give a warm welcome to our friend Carol L. from Lighthouse Point, Florida. Take it away, Carol.
Thanks, Sunny and Kirsten, everybody who does service. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Carol. I'm grateful to be here. Thanks to my friends who support me. And I'm going to share on step 10, which is continued to take personal inventory, and when I was wrong, promptly admitted it. And I like to read my big book out loud, and I read it in the singular. And the reason I do that is my mind doesn't seem to wander so much when I read out loud. And when I read in the singulars, I identify And what I read seems to stay in my brain a little bit longer, and it's there when I need it most of the time. And I want to thank everybody who has cameras on. I know not everybody can, but it's nice to see faces. And then I get to see you at other meetings and recognize you. And, you know, when you're a black square and you have a name, I don't know if I see you at other meetings. So thank you for those who can, and I understand if you can't. So in my 12 and 12, it's on page 88. It says, as I work the first 9 steps, I prepare myself for the adventure of a new life. But when I approach step 10, I commence to put our way, AA way of living to practice day by day in fair weather or foul. Then comes the acid test. Can I stay sober, keep an emotional balance, and live to good purpose under all conditions? Right? That's pretty important. No matter what happens, I can go through life and not think about drinking or not drinking. I just go through life and life happens, right? And so people seem to think step 10 and 11, the nighttime inventory and the step 10, they're not the same thing. Now, when I got sober, I was taught in step 10. I remember I called my sponsor one day and I told her what happened. Somebody at work said something and I didn't like what she said or how she said it. And what I did is I slammed something down on the desk and I stormed out of the office at the end of the day. Now, I didn't feel good about that. So I called my sponsor, Lois. Now, Lois, I'm going to tell you a little about Lois. Lois got sober in June 1966. She was 22 years sober. I was given the gift of sobriety May 1st, 1988 at the Glass House Group in Fort Worth, Texas. Lois had smoked and she had a third of a lung and had emphysema, and she was confined to bed the last 7 years of her life. And she taught me the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and God gave me the sponsor confined to bed, so I learned how to sit still. Because a lot of my meetings and a lot of my time with her was sitting on her bed or talking on the telephone. We didn't have cell phones when I got sober. We had phones with cords and we couldn't go wander around very much. We had like a 3-foot cord is about the most we could wander. So I called Lois and I said, this is what happened. And she said, what are you going to do? I said, I think I'll call her. I think when I go to the office tomorrow, I'll tell her I was sorry for doing that. And she said, but Carol, what does step 10 say? Read step 10. Continue to take personal inventory. And when I was wrong, see, it says, doesn't say when I'm sorry. It says when I was wrong, I promptly admitted it. So the next day I went to the office and I went to this gal and I said, I was wrong for the way I acted and for my behavior. And I will do my best to not have it happen again. And she kind of just, oh, it's no big deal. And she chalked it off. But see, it was a big deal to me. See, when I would do things that weren't feeling right or I knew were wrong, then I knew it. And I couldn't drink to not feel that way anymore. So what do? I have to work through the steps. Now, to me, all the steps are interconnected. They all build off each other and they all are related to each other. See, step 10, to me, relates back to step 6 and 7. And that relates to turning my life over to God. And to know my life was unmanageable when I got here because I did my best way of living the best way I knew how, and it got me to you in this place where I didn't like me, I didn't like you, I didn't know how to live in my own skin without drinking, or even to celebrate I drank. Now, see, for me, Lois had me go through the steps. We did the steps early. When I met her, I was just a few weeks sober. And she got me into the big book right away. I was going to meetings. I was greeting people. I was doing all that stuff. But we got into the big book right away. And she had me do this formula, and I still do it. And I share it because it works. Not only for me, but it works for a lot of other people. And when I listen to other people, they do some of this too. Now, she said in the morning when I wake up, see, I didn't know how to get up and go into the day sober, right? I'd get up, put my hair in a ponytail, and go out the door. Well, that's not what I was taught. So Lois said, I need to know how I want to live and the principles I want to live by. And that applies to if I know how I want to live, then when I go through the day, I know what's right or wrong for me. And I shouldn't use the word, I don't use the words right or wrong. What's appropriate for me and how I want to act. Because I've learned things aren't good, bad, right, wrong. Things aren't always and never. It'll always be like this. It'll never feel like that. I've learned that's not the case. It can change in minutes, right? Things aren't right or wrong, good or bad. They're just lessons and experiences for me to have to apply the program of Alcoholics Anonymous to grow through to share with somebody else someday. So Lois said, when I get up in the morning, I read the big book and I read steps 3 and 7. And then she had me read 68 to 71 and ask God to help me set my ideals in every area of my life. She said, Carol, if you know how you want to live, if you know the principles you want to live by, Carol, that when you have to make decisions or take actions, are they in accordance with the way I want to live or the principles I want to live by? And in the big book in 68 to 71, it's not just about sex. It's in every area of my life. And it says the right answers will come if I want them. And then she had me read 84 to 88, which is steps 10 and 11. So one of the other things that happened in my real early sobriety is I had an electronic calculator back then, and I accidentally spilled a glass of water, and it happened to fall into the calculator. And well, it didn't work. The calculator didn't work anymore. When you pour water into it, it's not going to work. And I call the calculator company, and they come and they fix it, and they give me a bill for $45, which in 1988 was a lot of money. I don't think the calculator was probably worth much more than that. And what I had to do is I had to go tell my boss this is what happened. But I knew enough to call my sponsor first. And I said, Lois, this is what happened. And she goes, what are you going to do? I said, I think I'll call the calculator company and ask them to change the invoice to say mechanical failure, not water damage. And then she said, Carol, is that honest? And I said, no, but he won't yell and scream and fire me. And she said, well, God's your source of income, not your boss. And if God doesn't want you to have that job, it doesn't matter what you'll do, you won't have it. And if God wants you to have it, there's nothing you can do to not have it. So she said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'll call the calculator company, change the invoice. And she said, Carol, is that honest? And I said, no. And then she said, Carol, is it worth drinking over to not be honest? And I said, no. So I went to my boss, and I'm still testing this God thing, because see, when I got sober, I thought I had a hateful, punishing God, because I would make these promises and these deals. Get me out of this. I won't do it again. And I would always break those promises, and more stuff had happened. So what I did is, see, this is part of where I'm not going to be wrong, right? I have to be honest. And so I said, okay, God, we're going to go down the street to my boss's office. And you're going to sit on the seat of the car, and you're going to put your hands on the steering wheel, and I'm going to sit on your lap, put my arms on yours. So when we get down to my boss's office, you're going to sit on the chair in front of his desk, and I'm going to sit on your lap, and you're going to put your arms around me, keep me safe. And I'd go down to my boss's office, and I told him what happened. And I was honest about it. And you know what? He didn't yell and scream and fire me. He said, I admire your honesty. Just don't do it again, and he'll pay the invoice. I offered to pay for it. And he said, no, he'll pay for it. Just be more careful. And then I go home, and, you know, we didn't have cell phones. Like I said, I waited. I got home. I called Lois, told her what happened. And she goes, how do you feel? And I said, it feels good. And she said, do you know what you feel? And I said, I have no idea. And she said, that's self-esteem, self-respect, dignity. See, I take different actions and I get results I didn't even know. One day I said, life is boring. There's no chaos and I don't have a knot in my gut. And she said, do you know what that is? And I said, I have no idea. I've never felt like this. And she said, it's called serenity. Now, see, when I apply the steps of the program, I also apply the traditions and try to do the concepts, you know, and I have a balanced life. I don't have those highs and lows. And in my big book, it says that I can go through and I don't have excitement and fear, anger, all those things anymore, which is really neat. says, I'm in the world to play the role that God assigns, and just to the extent that I humbly do that, does God allow me to match calamity and serenity? To me, things aren't calamity anymore. They're just lessons and experiences I get to grow through to share with you. Not having cancer, not having a husband die, not having my parents die, not going to international conventions. Yeah, they're part of my adventure. An acronym for FAITH is further adventure in trusting him or her, whatever our higher power is. And I told a longtime friend of mine, I thought trust was the key word, faith, right? He said, no, adventure. And now I'm reading step 10 in our 12 and 12. It says adventure. Life's an adventure, no matter what. Just like getting into the beginning of this meeting. We all had a little challenge getting into the beginning of this meeting, right? And what I've learned is to be flexible. That's pretty cool. It reminded me, I have to tell you two stories I thought of when we were getting into this meeting. And it was through work-related stuff. I was at a conference once, and this lady is standing at the front of the room, and she's our speaker, and she's playing with a Slinky. I don't know if y'all know what Slinkies are. They're this plastic-cut toy. And she goes, do you know why I'm playing with a Slinky? And all of us, of course, said no. And she said, if you have this piece of plastic or metal and it's not cut into a spiral, you can't do much with it. Maybe you could put some pencils in it or something. But once it's cut in the spiral, it's flexible and you can do lots of things. They used to put it and it would walk downstairs. And I like to be flexible. And another story it reminded me of is that at a different seminar, we're all facing the front of the room and the speaker's facing the back of the room, and on the table in the back, they had coffee and a tablecloth and little sterno thing. And the speaker's talking to us and all of a sudden he goes, the tablecloth's on fire in the back of the room. And one of the women in the seminar, she picks up the pitcher of water, pours it on the fire and sits back down. And he goes, that's all it took. And we said, yes, we're used to putting out fires as our job, right? And so in Alcoholics Anonymous, things are, pour water on it. It's simple. People try to complicate this program and it's not, it's really easy. See step 6 and 7, it says, ask God to remove the things that stand in my way of usefulness to God. Now, I don't know what those things are. In the morning, I do my third step. Okay, God, let this day go however you want. God, take all of me today. Give me back what you want me to have today. And I review, how do I want to be? And, you know, 68 to 71, I want to be honest. I want to be of service. I want to do the program the way God wants me to today. There's a lot of things that go into that. What are my objectives? What do I want to do? How do I want to live, right? And then when I get to step 10 in my big book, it says, watch, continue. So that means I'm always on the alert. I keep doing this. People say it's a maintenance thing. They're not maintenance. Maintenance to me is walking on a treadmill. It's not going anywhere. I'm not making any progress other than getting some exercise, but I'm not getting the distance. So for me, I have to put in the work. And sometimes I work the steps and sometimes I live the steps and apply them to my life. So it says continue to watch for. It says selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, right? But see what happens to me now. I don't get into those very much. I get into undecided. I get into procrastination. I get into frustrated because things aren't going the way I think when they think I think they should go. You know, having to deal with other people and maybe doctors or all these different things. It's not going my way all the time. So I get to ask God to remove whatever those are. And I don't always know. You know, when I was new, I didn't know what feelings were. I didn't know what actions sometimes. So sometimes I would go through like a daily, we didn't even have the daily reflections when I got sober. It came out a few years after I was sober. But we had other daily readings like the 24-hour book or something. So I'd look in the back and I go, I wonder if that's what I'm feeling. And I'd read all those pages. And then I go, nope, that's not it. Try something else. And then I would hear you share and go, oh, that's what I'm feeling. I remember hearing frustrated from somebody. I go, that's it. And I can ask God to remove anything. but not the things I want. God, is this being objectionable to you? God, is this stopping me from being of service the way you want me to today? And I don't do this perfect, so don't think I do, because I'm not even close to it. And it says it's not an overnight matter. It should continue for my lifetime. And it says, watch for these things. And when they crop up, I ask God at once to remove them, not like 3 hours from now. When I recognize it, ask God at once to remove it. Discuss it with someone immediately and make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone. That's step 8, 9. Then I resolutely turn my thought to someone I can help. Love and tolerance of others is my code. Now, in that paragraph, there's all the steps. If you read it carefully, you'll see all the steps of that paragraph. And I was sharing with somebody, you know, I work the steps through any issue, and it helps me with step 10 a lot. See, I've had a lot of surgery, I've had cancer, I've had a lot of stuff happen. And so the way I can work through all the steps, and then I'll tell you what some of the promises of step 10 are. See, I say, okay, God, I'm powerless over whatever this situation or person is, and I choose. There's a powerful word. I choose to not let it make my life unmanageable. See, when I recognize these things that I think are going to be a problem, I don't entertain them. I don't say I think a drink's going to be a good idea. That thought doesn't hardly ever come into my brain anymore, but I get stinking thinking every now and then, not too often anymore, because you know what I've learned? I don't let it stay in my brain. And when it doesn't stay in my brain, it doesn't come very often. And what I do is I say, stinking thinking, get out of here. I choose to not let you sabotage my recovery. And I need tangible steps. So I turn my head like this and tap it to get it out of my head. And then I stomp on it physically, like I'm smashing it. Like the illusion I can never drink again has to be smashed. I smash those things because I don't want to think about them. Drinking's not an option to me. And I told myself that in my early sobriety, and it's still true. And it says, I've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. It means I go through life, I don't think about it. So I told you how I do the first step. The second step is, okay, God, help restore my sanity in this area of thinking, because right now it's not very good. And then, okay, God, I made a decision to give you my life, however you want it to go. And then 4 and 5, if I need to, I talk to somebody about it. And then, you know what happens? I get to 6 and 7. Now, 6 and 7 is back to page 68 to 71 for me. How do I want to live? What principles do I want to live by? Is this in accordance with it? And when I get to 6 and 7, I find out that, see, I'm not at peace because it's not going my way. Or when I think it's going to happen, and I have to ask God to remove that. That's intolerance and impatience and not kindliness, definitely not love, but whatever it is. And then I do 8 and 9 because who am I hurting? Most of the time I'm hurting me because I'm not in peace with God and what God wants for me. Sometimes it hurts other people, and that's where I have to go say I was wrong for my behavior. I was wrong for not being honest with you about something or whatever it is. You know, even going to the store, one time I like to cook and bake, so I bought like 4 baking pans and they were all stacked. Well, the girl didn't realize that. She charged me for one. Now, it would have been nice because they were about $6 or $7 a piece. But I had to say, no, ma'am, there's not one, there's 4. Because, see, it wouldn't have been a big deal. She would have never known it, but I would have known it. And every time I used those baking pans, it would have been on my consciousness. And I don't want to drink over it because that's one of those, is it worth drinking over? No, it's not worth it, right? And so that's kind of how I do that. But I need to know how I want to live and the principles I want to live by, because if I don't know that, then how do I know if I'm wrong? That's where I had to look at when I did 4 and 5. I had to look at my part and how they wronged me. I always could look at that. But what was my part? I didn't want to look at that part. And see, step 10 gets me to look at my part. And then, you know, Lois had me read that 68 to 71. And then I had to read 84 to 88, which is steps 10 and 11. And I had to read it in the morning and at night, just like the other pages. So I was starting my day with instructions, and I was ending my day with instructions, and I was ending my day with step 11, reviewing what I did during the day. Is there something I didn't do in step 10? It's going to get caught in step 11. When I review that day and my actions. And I had to write a gratitude list and the things I did to help my self-esteem list. And I didn't know what self-esteem was. But the more I was taking the actions and the more I was doing and working step 10 or practicing it, sometimes it was like practice phone calls. Even honest, like, did you call the three people today that I asked you to call? I had to say no if I didn't do it. See, those little lies I used to be able to do and tell beforehand. I did that my whole life to not get in trouble. And they will catch up with me, I've learned. I remember, I think I was in seventh grade. So what was I, 10 or 11? And I had lost my science book. Now, I didn't want to tell my parents because I was scared they would yell at me. We didn't have a lot of money. So what I did is every day, instead of having lunch, we had these little ice cream cups. They were a dime back then. So I saved my lunch money and I just had an ice cream for lunch until I could pay for that book. And years later, my parents were cleaning something. They go, did you ever lose a science book? And I said, no. And they said, that's strange because we found one and it's got your name in it. You know, so it doesn't matter what I do or what. If God wants something to happen, it might take years, but it's going to happen. And so I have to do the things I have to do to stay sober and keep a sense of humor, because my higher power that's gender neutral, that changes the weather in a heartbeat. We had really bad storms yesterday and it's sunny again outside. And, you know, sometimes I say my higher power sometimes doesn't know what God wants the weather to be. It changes quickly. So anyway, I have to do step 10 a lot, and I keep asking and I keep watching, and it keeps me on the straight and narrow. It keeps me at peaceful, contented sobriety. I like to stay in contented sobriety. That's a really good place for me. Then I don't get into excitement or fear or worry. God bless it or block it and let me know the truth. God, let this go the way you want it to. And I find, you know, sometimes, like if you've had to deal with insurance companies or any of these businesses we deal with, and you call them and you don't get the same person, and you have to keep explaining things over and over and over to different people, and you get transferred about four times and you have to repeat the same story all the time. I don't know if that happens to you, but it happens to me. And then see, I really get to work step 10. Because I'll get to say to the third or fourth person, you know what, I'm not short-tempered with you, but I'm just frustrated with your company because you're the fourth person I've been transferred to. And I've had to repeat this, and they say, oh, I can't help you, and they transfer me to somebody else. Because, see, well, I want to say, your company is stupid. You have unqualified people working here. Can't you get the... And I don't get to do that. I get to keep my side of the street clean. They told me, hold my hand up to my face, a foot away, palm side of the hand to my face is my business, and backhand side away isn't. I don't know what's best for other people, and sometimes God just has me be a player in somebody else's story. But I've learned to say I was wrong, and I don't like saying it. So I try to catch myself more often so I don't have to do that. And I don't do it perfect, so don't think I do. But I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. And you know what? I'm still learning. A couple pages in my big book. I love our book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's so much, you know, it says alcohol's that subtle foe. It's going to sneak in. And you know what? Alcoholic thoughts are that subtle foe. It's not always about drinking. It's about, Carol, you don't have to be honest with that. Carol, you don't have to tell them that there's four baking pans. You can just say there's one. Do you know, I had a tote bag going into a store once, and I put something in it, and it wasn't very heavy, and I totally forgot. I left the store. I wasn't going to buy anything, and I'm getting into my car, and I go to put the tote bag in the car, and I go, there's something in here. And I looked and it was something from inside the store. Now they would never have known if I didn't do that. They would have known I didn't pay. But I went back and I gave it to them and said, I accidentally walked out the store with this. They would have never known. But see, I would have known. You've taught me to be honest in all areas of my life the best I can. And my magic magnifying mind sometimes wants to justify and rationalize something. Say, Carol, you don't need to do that. You don't need to apologize. You don't need to say you were wrong. And sometimes it's not saying it out loud. It's just I was wrong for an action or behavior. And sometimes there's nobody I can make that amend to. I wouldn't know who that person is to get back to talking to that person if I had to call them or see them. And that's where I get to be different. Because some of my amends I had to make, Lois said, just be different, Carol. Treat other people that the way you want to be treated and treat other people differently. Act differently than you used to. And I get to be appropriate now when I can. I'm so grateful to have this way to live. You know, what I want to tell you is the keys to the kingdom is one of my favorite. It might have been worse too, because I'm one of the lucky alcoholics that didn't go to jail. I didn't get a DUI. I didn't lose jobs. Alcohol wasn't that magic at first. It was a progressive until it was so bad. And it says that this program allows for limitless expansion. I'm never going to outgrow it. This is where I used to run from responsibility. I find myself attacking things with surprising vigor, applying the principles of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I attack them with surprising vigor. And that's what happens. And on the top of page 100 is another one. It says, both me and a new man, which could be one of you I haven't met. Doesn't mean new to AA, maybe new to my life. And they told me every time I go through something I haven't been through, I'm a newcomer too. I have to play all my newcomer stuff. It says, both me and a new man must walk day by day, just not years, just a today, in the path of spiritual progress. And it says, if I persist, remarkable things will happen. It says, when I look back, I'll find the things that came to me when I put myself in God's hands are far more wonderful than I could have imagined. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and I'll live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what my present circumstances. Means I stay in the moment. I stay close to you. I see remarkable things every day. At first, it was going through the day, no matter what was happening, without drinking. Now, remarkable things are seeing your face and going to a conference a couple of weeks. I've been to 3 conferences in the last 2 months, and I haven't been in years, maybe a decade or more. And I get to see some of you that I've met in person. I get to hear something that changes my life. I get to stay close to people in the program. I have newcomers I share with and people that have years and want to be re-energized in their program. I have a sponsor who has she's 3 years older than me. She's sober 58 years. She has 23 years longer, and she's still learning in our big book. I call it a magical big book because I keep seeing things in there I haven't seen before. Every time I read it, I see it differently. Says we escape disaster together. And that's what we do every day. And maybe a disaster isn't drinking. Maybe it's like one of my friends who just had some surgery. And we go through it together. Thank you for asking me to share. I hope I shared something that helps y'all. And I'm honored to be here. Thank you.